has been very favorable to the Kansas City Chiefs. They should appreciate it. Because I'm telling you, man, they could, right now, they could be 1-5.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
I feel it in my plums. It's because Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, sponsored by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision experience outside. Outstanding patient care. There's a dyslexia. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mitch Holthus, you picked up your 300th win as the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Congratulations on not getting fired for all that time. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Well done out of you. Which is your favorite win?
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's like asking me what child or grandchild do I like the most.
Well, we all have an answer.
Super Bowls. No. All three Super Bowls are in a linear answer there, obviously, and for different reasons. But, yeah, there's just been a ton. I just got to put it in perspective for you, though. There's some math within the math. In the 19 years before Andy Reid came to town, 150 wins.
Oh, my God.
So how about that? Right at the line. We averaged 7.8 points a win for 19 years. Since he has been here, 11.33 years, we've averaged 13.2 wins a year, equaling 150 wins. It's actually a 150-150.
Wow.
If Andy Reid does not come to town, we stay on the same win total, I would still be 58 wins short of 300.
Mm, wow.
That gives you an idea what's going on here.
I mean, so, that's wild.
Thanks, Jens.
Yeah. I mean, do you still get the same sort of like butterflies that you had on your first game calling like the NFL?
Of course.
Every game.
Good,
Bob.
Good.
Every game. And I've been asked a lot nationally, like, what's it like? Because you guys now for 6 years, really seven or six and a third, like you guys are there. You're there. Right now you're the best team. You've been the best team. But and I say that humbly, not trying to get anybody mad. But I tell people the difference between now and those first 19 years or even the first couple of years of coach is that every game feels like a playoff game. The nervousness that I feel. You can have people that are on the road trips with me. Don't talk to me on game day. On the bus going to the stadium, don't even get close to me. I go in Smith Center football mode, man. And the butterflies in my stomach every single game, as Pat would say it, are there, still there, and even more so now in these last 6 years.
Well, and I feel that same way, too. I know when I sit down, the nerves start to go, so I can imagine what it is. And the reason I ask is because sometimes people just get numb to doing something all the time, right? They just get used to it. It becomes old hat, and it's not that big a deal. This is a big deal, man. 300 wins, being there for the voice and to basically write the script of what's going on for this team over the last 6 or 7 years. Like, I don't think I could ever get numb to what's going on. Like, I never want this moment of our lives to end.
Well, and honestly, I feel like every game is my first game. I remember the very, very first game I did when I filled in for Kevin Harlan and thinking this might be my, I got to make this happen. I got to make this rock. But I feel that way. I'll feel that way for this game Sunday. I do in my prep for it. It's just, I don't ever want to lose that, because I think then that's when you start having disrespect for the players and the league and how hard it is to win in this league and how hard it is to do what we've been doing and to be the best really pro franchise right now. Name a pro franchise in other sports. I say this every Friday with you guys. There's no other pro franchise in any of the big four that are doing what the Chiefs are doing right now.
Nope. Not at all. So now they go out and get DeAndre Hopkins, another coup, as they say, for Brett Veach. Let's talk about expectations for him. What do you think short-term and long-term are for DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, I think short-term are some of the obvious. Catch radius. He's got a wide wingspan in his hands. He just looks different. Like, he's practicing yesterday, and I talked to some of our coaches. I'm like, okay, that looks different. They're just kind of chuckling and laughing, because he's just such a splendid-looking athlete. I think that he will fill in some of the void of the loss of Rashi Rice and the fact that you can get yards in the middle. Catch ratio. If you study his career, he's somewhere between, always on the average, 60, 64% of targets to catches, which is just terrific. And the fact that if you throw it there, tight window throws, Patrick can do that. Long term, I think for him, is the benefit that he will give two players in specific. One is Travis Kelce, for what's obvious, in trying to get some of the heat off those double teams. But I think from a psychological standpoint, it's awesome for Xavier Worthy. Because whether it's real or if it's sublime, Xavier starts to feel the weight of his world on his shoulders. There's no juju. He's out. There's no Rice. There's no Hollywood. I got to do this more than he should feel at this point in his career. So I think that takes just play now. Just play, Xavier. Just run your route. Go deep. We'll hit you on a 54-yarder. But let D-Hop take care of all this other stuff and take some of that off your plate. I think that's one of the more sublime advantages of getting DeAndre Hopkins.
Mitch, I want to bring this up because it is Raider Week, and I think a lot of things we've forgotten about, but they've done a lot of talking, so maybe it's a more modern day. But there is, in your opinion, there could be like a Raider danger, or is this just one of those games where we see the Chiefs finally put up one of those like 45-7 games like we saw last year against the Bears?
No, I don't feel that with these guys. And all you got to know is, I mean, last team to beat us. 12 wins in a row and lost to these guys. And I went back and looked at that game, and it you just kind of get a queasy feeling in your stomach. Two defensive touchdowns in 9 seconds, including, I know where you're going with the quote from Jones, who had the pick six. But these guys put 30 on Baltimore and beat them at Baltimore. I don't laugh at Minshew. In fact, I respect him. Spags brought it up yesterday, and I had it on my boards when I was talking to Spags. Minshew, his first NFL experience was against us, and he lit us up. He was 22 of 25, and we had the game in hand against Jacksonville in the opening game of 2019. But Minshew had put up all these yards for Mike Leach at Washington State, and he had the mustache, and ha, ha, ha. He came in and was great in that game. So Minshew was in the Pro Bowl last year. He's won 24 games as a pro. You don't want him to get hot. And Brock Bowers has had the best start of any tight end in the NFL in his first 7 games, any tight end, including Kelce, who didn't play that first year. But in his first 7 games, Bowers has 47 catches. He's legit. And then if Max Crosby's out there trying to tear your face off, it's always dangerous. So I always look at how possible could the Chiefs lose this game. And you can come up with several scenarios.
You mentioned Max Crosby. I mean, I know he's out there trying to kill Patrick Mahomes and do all this kind of stuff, but I mean, there's a chance we can get him. We go out and get Max Crosby, right? I mean, there's got to be at least one redeeming quality about this guy that we could like if we could get him here to Kansas City.
Well, I don't think he's going to throat punch Pat like Malik Collins did. Right. He went to Center High School. Yeah, that's a Kansas City kid.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, Malik Collins went to Kansas. He went to Center High School in Kansas City. He's a Yellow Jacket.
Oh.
He was a state champion wrestler. He was a legend in wrestling for Center. And they're trying to throat punch Pat. Like, dude, you want to come back? Like, we'll shut you out of town.
Yeah, that guy's not welcome back in Kansas City. Sorry, man.
Come on, man. Let's go here. Played in Nebraska. What are we doing? Max has one redeeming quality, in my opinion. You ready for it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Went to the same high school as Bobby Witt Jr., Hollywood Hardage. That's it. And the best as I can tell, and I think I asked Bobby one time, I've had like one conversation with him, but I go, and I thought I brought up Max Crosby. I think that somebody can ask him. I think he was a freshman when maybe Max Crosby was a senior at Colleyville Heritage High. But that's it.
Other than that,
it's like, no, nothing else. Just nothing else. Max Crosby's the villain.
I feel like I can give you another stat that Max Crosby's good at doing. He's good at waking up the wrong MF-er, according to Patrick Mahomes in audio and video that I've seen, which is kind of nice because this could be a game that he wakes up. Mitch, I look at your sixth win of your career, which came on November 6th, 1994, I would assume, judging by the opening that we play for you. It was 13-3 against those Raiders on Sunday Night Football. Do you see this kind of being that game? Like the defense just, either if it's Desmond Ridder or Gardner Minshew, that it's just, they just suffocate him like they did Brock Purdy and just make them turn the ball over and just run time of possession and walk out of there with a win?
Not only that, Dusty, but I think what started last week, what I'm excited about is I think this Chiefs team on defense can do what they did not do last year or the first games of this year, and that's take the ball away. the most exciting thing for me last week was intercepting Brock Purdy three times. And to take the ball away can be devastating to opponents because the offense is going to come around, or it's going to be better. The one thing that's been missing are takeaways. And I know you don't go to Hy-Vee and buy takeaways, but you can, if you start, they start to come in bunches, man. And if you get a mentality of that, so I, these guys, the Raiders have 16 giveaways, just ghastly. And that's why they're 2-5. That's why Spags said, if they don't turn the ball over, this is on. But I think the Chiefs can turn them over, Dusty. Not only wipe them out, take the ball away and go score on them.
And it's something that they, you mentioned they haven't done, but they've given it away a lot as well. I mean, and still sitting at 6-0, like the Vermeil turnover stats have been thrown out the window for this football team.
Here's your stat of the morning. I couldn't believe this. I had to go back and look at this. I saw it, and I go, nah, that can't be right. There have been eight teams since 2001 that have been 6-0 and have had 10 or more giveaways. That's the Chiefs, right? We're sitting at 10 giveaways, and we're 6-0. But seven other teams have done it since 2001. How many of those seven have made the Super Bowl?
All of them.
Every one of them. It's a stupid stat.
Wow.
And
shows you
three,
how good they are, three, right?
Well, yeah, and it tells about a defense.
Yeah.
Three of those seven won Super Bowls. So those seven teams were 3-4 in the Super Bowl. But the 2004 Patriots, the 2009 Saints, and the 2015 Broncos. And we always want to talk about, and Drew Brees was good in the 09 Saints, but that was a really good New Orleans defense. The 2004 Patriot defense was outstanding, and we know that the 2015 Bronco defense was one of the best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So to be 6-0 and have 10-plus giveaways is actually commonplace. And wow. Every one of those teams made the Super Bowl. But I had to look at that two or three times because I'm like, that can't be right.
That's crazy. That's wild. Yeah, so book it.
Nutty stat, boys.
Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Real quick on DeAndre Hopkins, just to kind of finish it up and put the bow on the biggest story of the week. You know, it's a win for DeAndre. It's a win for the Kansas City Chiefs. There's no strings attached. I mean, I think that's why he was kind of that perfect guy to go get. You didn't have to give up a high draft pick and spend $20 million to get a guy like Cooper Kupp that the Rams tried to shop to everybody and then be like, oh, everybody was calling us. Nobody was calling you. So DeAndre Hopkins to me is like that perfect addition because it's a right now moment, and then there's no commitment afterwards.
Let's give Brett Veach some kudos again that he doesn't get nationally, and he did not give up the guts of the draft capital of the 2025 draft.
Right.
You're sitting here with day one and day two picks. It's brilliant. I mean, the guy just keeps going. But you know who gains the most in this? I think more than any human being in this whole DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Who's that?
DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And I talked to him yesterday about it, just had a brief chat. This is the same discussion I had with Carlos Dunlap. Remember we got him? He went 12 years and had no playoff wins. I said, Los, I went 21 years with no playoff wins. And when we got the first playoff win for Dunlap, he had tears in his eyes. I saw him the opening game this year, the banner drop game, and he mentioned that. Here's DeAndre Hopkins, incredible Hall of Fame career, 12 years, 6 playoff games, 2 playoff wins. They were both wild card wins. DeAndre Hopkins has never played in a conference championship game. He smells it. He's excited about it. He's getting an opportunity that Tony Gonzalez thought he was going to get, but he had Tony Gonzalez in 17 years had one playoff win. D-Hop knows he's got a shot now, and it's, yes, it's win-win. But I think for D-Hop, he's thinking like he's the biggest winner right now.
Mitch, I referenced Max Crosby waking up Patrick Mahomes. He's been sleepwalking to a 6-0. To give you your favorite movie reference of Step Brothers, Brennan and Dale, you're not supposed to wake them up when they're sleepwalking. If they wake Patrick Mahomes up, I could see total havoc going on in Vegas this weekend.
Oh, God, they're carrying the Christmas tree into the bedroom.
That's right.
Come on.
Don't touch my drum set! Mitch, have a good call this weekend. Continue to stay undefeated in Vegas as well as those Chiefs. And congratulations on 300 wins. Go get 301 this week, my man.
Thanks, you guys. And I know and I respect Brock Purdy, but we messed with his drum set.
Yeah, we did. Take care, Mitch.
See you, Mitch.
See you, boys.